You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
This episode is brought to you by GoToMeeting, online meetings made better, and by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/quicksurf. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm your host, Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio MC1 at Quicksurf Internet Media. Tonight marks a historic night in a sense. Here at Linux News Log, I have made an executive decision to return to recording Linux News Log on Sunday evenings. So it's about 9:45 p.m. here in Phoenix, Arizona, GMT minus 0700 hours. And because I have a daily or a nightly technology news show called Today's Tech News over at tech.quicksurf.com that I do every Monday through Friday night, except this past week because I was a little under the weather, but all that aside, it left me kind of a quandary because I ended up on Monday evenings, the evenings I normally was recording Linux News Log before, suddenly having to record and produce two separate shows in one night. And that made for a pretty hectic Monday night. And so this past week, when I was under the weather, Monday rolled around, I was really wasn't feeling that well. And I was just like, I got to do two shows tonight. This is ridiculous. I'm going to change what day I do Linux News Log. And Sunday evening, so it worked really well for me in the past. And the only reason why I started doing it Monday evenings because I didn't have anything else going on then, and I was recording audio and video, and I wanted to free my weekends up. And long story short, since we're back to audio only for Linux News Log, Sunday evenings works because it only takes, you know, an hour or so to prep and record and post and publish and all that good stuff. And so here we are. Monday morning is probably when you will be listening to this because this won't actually go live until 11:59 p.m. tonight, GMT 0-700 hours. Now, I'd also like to say that Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there as well. And so, without further ado, on our new, old Sunday night, let's talk about Linux. Starting off over at Tech World for the Unity-averse, a peek ahead at Linux Mint 11. Pretty nice. Ubuntu 11.04 Natty Narwhal has been out for about a week now, and it's become clear that opinions are divided on Unity, its new desktop shell. One of the best things about Linux, however, is that choices abound. Those who don't like Unity can always replace it with something else. For instance, while still keeping the rest of Natty Narwhal. Alternatively, they can also look to one of the other numerous Linux distributions available out there. Linux Mint, in fact, is a winning alternative. Not only is it based on Ubuntu, but it's the number two distribution in terms of popularity on DistroWatch, behind only Ubuntu itself, and is widely known for its excellent usability. Now, I've never actually used Linux Mint. I'm a huge Ubuntu fan, which I guess kind of makes sense because I'm also a huge Macintosh fan and I'm also a huge Windows fan. Kind of strange how that all works out, doesn't it? So ironically, I've never actually used Linux Mint. I'm also a huge Debian fan, so I may try it out. I may spin off a virtual machine and download it and give it a whirl, but interestingly enough, this article does go further into a lot of the stuff that makes it a nice winning distribution that for those of you that are Unity averse. I kind of like Unity myself, but again, this is coming from a guy who uses, you know, a Mac on a daily basis and a Windows machine on a daily basis, as well as Linux. not necessarily every day, but pretty regularly, as well as Unix, AIX, and, you know, I mean, there's more than just desktop operating systems out there that I unfortunately have to use. But anyway, we'll not go into those details. So check this story out. Pretty interesting. If you don't like Natty Narwhal, then give Linux Mint a try. Let's talk about our sponsor for this episode, GoToMeeting. Online meetings are a great tool for businesses to work smarter. That's why I highly recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. It's the easiest and most reliable online meeting service available. Join meetings in seconds without technical headaches. It's easy to set up. You can schedule your secure meetings with just a click, and you can hold as many as you want for one low flat rate that includes voice over IP and toll-free audio conferencing. With GoToMeeting, you can do everything from sales calls to project meetings to collaboration. You name it, it's there, and you can do it right from your desk. GoToMeeting makes meetings more cost and time efficient, which is better for business. My audience can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code podcast. And I sincerely hope that you do try GoToMeeting out. Now, I always get emails, believe it or not. I do get emails, linux@quickserif.com, for those of you who don't know. Get lots of emails, but largely about who the show sponsors are, primarily Citrix products. And this is a little known fact, but the vast majority of my audience, I don't really publicize, you know, numbers or any of that other stuff. You know, I mean, that's something that I don't really do, but I will... Because I will expose, because I do this all the time in emails. I always get emails saying, hey, this is a terrible sponsor for a Linux show, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, yeah, I understand. You're a diehard Linux user. Oh, by the way, only the diehard Linux users email me about who sponsors my shows. Anyway, and my response is always, well, no, not really, you see, because quite a pretty big chunk of my audience downloads the show in iTunes, which means they're using Windows to do it, or Mac OS X, which means they're probably not a diehard Linux user. They may use Linux on a regular basis, and they may love Linux, but at the end of the day, they're using a Windows box or an OS X box to get my show. And so the sponsors are not Linux supporting sponsors. They're not aimed at that market, because that market, that part of my show, is actually pretty small in comparison to the rest of my show. In fact, less than 10% of those who download my show do so with a platform that can be detected as Linux, and the vast majority of my audience downloads the show in iTunes or Zune, or, you know, name your Windows or Mac OS X client, and it's out there. But anyway, that's beside the point. My advertisers are aimed at the vast majority of the audience, even though I get emails all the time from the minority claiming that I shouldn't be carrying such advertisements. I just wanted to bring this out because I'm feeling chatty tonight. But still, nonetheless, it's kind of an interesting statistic that 75-80% of my audience downloads it in iTunes. Amazing. Anyway, I've digressed well enough. How do you like my new chatty style? I don't like it, actually. From eWeek.com and their IT and network infrastructure news, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6.1 ships to key partners. Awesome. Red Hat released the latest version of its Linux distribution, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6.1, to some of its closest partners at the company's Red Hat Summit conference. According to the May 3rd blog post from Red Hat Enterprise Linux team, Red Hat said that it would release RHEL 6.1 to select partners at the conference, which ran May 3rd through 6th, which means it just ended in Boston, as a step toward the general availability of the operating system, which is expected to occur in the coming weeks. Red Hat shipped a beta of 6.1 in late March, and it has since undergone extensive testing. So, pretty cool. So basically, this is a release candidate. They released it to all of their good partners that are heavy users of it to kind of check out hardware drivers and software features and such and so forth, and basically do a shakedown. So it'd be pretty interesting to see. I'm curious when they actually do get around to releasing it, you know, just general stuff about it, but because I follow Red Hat. But anyway, pretty interesting stuff. From ZDNet, this is kind of big news. Canonical and Ubuntu Linux CTO leaves. Only a few weeks after Canonical, Ubuntu Linux's biggest change ever, the release of the Unity-based 11.04 Linux, the company's CTO, Matt Zimmerman, is leaving the company. In a blog posting, Zimmerman wrote, "I joined Canonical in June 2004 as a member of the founding team before we even had a name for the company. In June 2011... after just over 7 years as Ubuntu CTO, I will be leaving Canonical in search of new challenges." Apparently, he's leaving on good terms. He wrote, "I intend to remain involved in the Ubuntu community, retaining my elected position on the governing technical board, and perhaps to make the occasional technical contribution as a volunteer." So, pretty interesting. I'm curious to see what he's looking to do after this, but pretty neat. It's not neat for Ubuntu, but it's pretty neat for him, probably. From PC World, Tiny PC runs Linux is the size of a flash drive. I actually saw this a couple weeks ago, but it didn't really hit it big time. I didn't think it was going to be a popular story. But once it hits PC World, believe it or not, it's kind of a popular story. This is pretty neat. So this thing is basically, it's a fully functioning Linux box, the size of a USB stick. It's got HDMI. It's got one USB port. It's got a 700 megahertz ARM 11 processor with 128 megabytes of memory. You can get storage through an SD card slot. It has everything you could want in a computer except maybe Wi-Fi. And you can carry it on your keychain, which is awesome. Check it out. There's some pictures. I don't know how much it costs or any of that, those details, but still pretty neat. From IGN at IGN.com, hackers return Linux to the PlayStation 3. Sony just can't catch a break in the midst of the current PSN debacle, which we've been covering elsewhere. A method of returning Linux to PlayStation 3 has been created, this time allowing the user even more access to the hardware than ever before. A result of the hard work by those at gitbew.org, gitbew.org, a dual boot firmware has been created to bring Linux back to the PlayStation 3 in the form of the other OS +++. Wow, you can apply it to fat and slim PlayStation 3 models, and it gives you full access to the PlayStation 3's hardware. Wow, that's awesome. Check it out. From ZDNet, Simply Mepis 11 finally released as expected following release candidate 3 about 10 days ago. A final release of Simply Mepis 11, Mepis, don't know how to say it. Go ahead and email me, linux@quicksurf.com. This is a first-class high-quality Linux distribution. It's all too easy to say. If you don't like Ubuntu Natty, give it a try. But the truth is that we already said that, but from Linux Mint. But the truth is that Simply Mepis is an excellent distribution in its own right. It doesn't require a negative comparison to any other distribution to justify trying it. Again, this is one of those distributions I've actually never tried. I may have to do that. They've got some screenshots here. It looks pretty interesting. I think I will look at it. I'll throw it in a virtual machine and give it a whirl. From, Forge Wireless Evolution from TMC Net. I hate TMC Net. Why did this come up? Okay. Anyway, Wind River unveils EAL 4 Plus certified embedded Linux platform. Pretty awesome. A provider, Wind River, a provider of embedded and mobile software, announced the availability and security certification of Wind River Linux Secure, which has become the first commercial embedded Linux platform to achieve common criteria evaluation level, evaluation assurance level 4 Plus. Pretty awesome. It was awarded by the National Information Assurance Partnership using the General Purpose Operating System Protection Profile. Wind River Linux Secure joins Wind River's broad portfolio of safe and secure software platforms, including the Wind River VxWorks MILS, Wind River VxWorks 653 platform, and the VxWorks Cert platform. So pretty awesome. Check it out. That will do it for this episode of Today's Tech News. We're about 15 minutes. I had a couple of digressions in there, but that's okay. You can fast forward through those. And find us online, linux.quicksurf.com. As always, you can shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com. And if you want to follow me other ways, I do have a Twitter, twitter.com/Adrian_Bacon. And a friend feed, and I think I have a Facebook. You'd have to search for it. I probably won't friend you unless I personally know you. I reserve Facebook for immediate friends and family and people I actually know. So if you try to friend me on Facebook, don't be surprised if I don't respond. And with that, I will see all of you next Sunday evening. Maybe we should have some talk about whether you want me to do a longer show and have maybe a little more chatty or something of that nature. But for the moment, this is the show. We are returning to Sundays, the new old evening. And I will see you next Sunday evening. See you then. Bye.